Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. It is Wednesday, May 29th, 2019. I am your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have Charlotte Henry. Hi, Charlotte.
Hello, hello. Hope you had a... I haven't spoken to you since Memorial Day, so I hope everyone had a nice time and a nice day off.
It wasn't really a day off because we ended up doing a bunch of house and home improvement projects, so it wasn't really a day off, but it was a nice change of pace. I'll give you that. Also with me today, I have John the Quiet Storm Martellaro. Hi, John.
You're listening to Smooth Jazz on TDO. Oh, wait. Wrong channel. Good morning, Kelly.
Hi, John. Returned from subroutine. We're on this show now.
I'm so excited to hear John's Smooth Jazz classic show.
Yes. Stay tuned for TDO Smooth Jazz. TDO Radio with John the Quest from Martellaro.
Yeah, listeners, tweet us in if you agree that John, he slightly adjusted his mic and like dropped his voice a half an octave and now it's really pretty smooth.
Yes, it is. It is very smooth.
Ooh. Goodness.
Late night with John and Kelly and Charlotte.
Oh, no. All right.
He doesn't realize what he's done, does he?
He has no idea whatsoever.
Okay, let's talk tech.
Let's put the skids to that in a hurry with a quick PSA for most people. If you are a Flipboard user, Flipboard has recently revealed they had a security incident, I believe, is how they characterized it. The rest of the world calls that a data breach. And there was unauthorized access to Flipboard's user database between June 2nd of 2018 and March of 2019. Mostly they've sent people emails. If you were using, you know, login with Facebook or something else like that, it's possible that that you may just have to set that login information up again because those tokens were all removed by Flipboard when they discovered the breach. So all of the passwords have been reset just as a preemptive measure. They just reset everybody's password. So since you have to set a new one anyway, now is your opportunity to set that to be multiple words with some interesting punctuation between them, as we talk about here, or perhaps to just let your password manager handle that for you. So there's the Flipboard information.
Password.
Yes. Let's everyone get new passwords, set all of that up, particularly if you're using Flipboard. So I just want to make sure everybody's aware of that. If you haven't gotten the email and you do want to use Flipboard, you may just have to go to Flipboard and get that set up again anyway. Because like I said, they did reset everybody's passwords, so you may just have to hook that up again. The first actual topic we want to talk about is Pokemon. And yes. Charlotte, you've written this up. They made a number of interesting announcements, and let's hear about those.
Yeah. I choose you, Pikachu. Well, Detective Pikachu, because they've got a new Detective Pikachu 3DS game coming. But so that's one of the things that came out of it.
Mm-hmm.
But for iOS users and also Android users, there's going to be some more exciting things because there's going to be a whole new game, an entirely new game called Pokemon Masters,
mm-hmm.
Which looks like it's going to kind of bring everything together. But anyway, it's a new and probably quite exciting game for people who are into that world. We don't actually know that much about it yet. They were kind of a bit sneaky. We're going to hear a bit more next month, like kind of later in June, but keep your eye out for that. But actually what caught my eye, the games are fun, right? And everyone mm-hmm. enjoyed Pokemon Go and all of that stuff.
Sure.
But what, and I also think it shows you actually that iOS is becoming quite a serious game platform now. I think we're long past the point, even before Apple Arcade formally launches, where people are dismissing iOS as a serious game platform, aren't we? That, you know, we got a Nintendo, a company that kind of parented by Nintendo, ultimately, the Pokemon company, making games for iOS. I think that says everything, doesn't it?
Yeah. And speaking of Nintendo, one of the announcements they did make yesterday was a second Detective Pokemon game.
Yeah, Detective Pikachu, that's coming out on the 3DS, because the original one was on the Nintendo Switch, of course, absolutely. But the other stuff that came out of it, which I was really interested in, was another mobile app called Pokemon Sleep. Mm-hmm. Now, this is not the first time they've tried to integrate Pokemon with health. They integrated Pokemon Go with Apple Health, if you remember a while back.
Yeah.
But now they're doing it with sleep as well. So the more you sleep and the better you sleep, I guess, that will affect the gameplay, is what they told us. They're also, interestingly, related to this, I think, going to launch a hardware device, a peripheral device. It's going to... And there's going to be Pokemon Go Plus, and it's all going to link together with sleep, and there's going to be data can be sent to the iPhone. So that will also be worth watching, I think. Mm-hmm. That's probably not going to be around until 2020, though.
Yeah.
Okay. Got a little, there was a bit of a preview available today, but if you're excited for to have Pikachu in your sleep, which, let's be honest, we all are, you're going to have to wait till 2020 for it to be properly there. But I do, look, we've discussed it before, haven't we? Particularly with, I think with Andrew as well, we've discussed it, Kelly. This kind of gamification of health. Mm-hmm. We know it's a massive trend. We know it's a big deal. We know it's a massive industry. And this is another demonstration of that, because people are just taking sleep much more seriously. And you've got this new device as well that's going to have an embedded accelerometer in it, apparently. That's what the peripheral is going to do, so mm-hmm. we'll monitor how you move and sleep, which will be interesting. Other news, just to kind of give you the full thing, there's this Pokemon Home, which is a cloud service, and basically that is going to take all the characters you've caught in the various games, and you can bring it all together in one game system, and you on your iPhone or other smartphones, you can conduct trades with people around the world as well. So
that's going to be very cool.
Right, I think it's quite clever, and they've obviously realized, look, they're not ahead of trends here, are they? They're building on a lot of trends. Mm-hmm. Cloud, worldwide trading, all this stuff we've seen in other games and other products before. But when you have the power of the Pokemon brand, when you have the power of Nintendo behind it, mm-hmm. like it's a big deal. There's a reason we're discussing it, right? It is. This is what, it's a big brand. The film did pretty well from what I understand. The game, you know, so obviously Pokemon Go was a massive craze and then kind of died out, and they're trying to get that excitement back again with these new products, but also looking at other things like health and the sleep, and I think that's kind of interesting.
Yeah, the Adventure Sync, which is the thing where it hooks into health and tracks your steps and the right. amount of walking that you normally do, even when you don't have the app open necessarily, also counts toward the candy that you get when you walk with your buddy and all of that. I apologize to people for whom I've just started speaking a foreign language because they don't play Pokemon Go. But that part has been really nifty to be able to use. Being you know, logging back into the game and having it go, oh, you've walked this much time, this far since the last time that you synced up. So, you know, here's more candies for your buddy and whatever. So that's been pretty great.
Yeah, I think it's really clever. And look, anything that gets people moving is excellent. We obviously, what's also interesting is these increasing focus on AR powered games. Mm-hmm. We saw it with the Harry Potter game, which I think you discussed on another show.
Yes.
And we've certainly written about on the Mac Observer. It is worth watching, because Nintendo, there was a risk a few years ago, I think. It felt like Nintendo may have peaked and had its heyday, and, you know, obviously we're always going to love the game consoles, the PlayStation, but, you know, there was a risk, I think, that it felt like Nintendo missed out on the mobile thing, missed out on that whole world of mobile gaming, which is so lucrative, and was behind. And I think they've used the Pokemon brand very, very effectively to make sure that they're not behind. How well it will compare with the Harry Potter games and things like that, we don't know. That will be quite an interesting kind of top of the charts clash. But
yeah,
it's and another thing that's just worth noting is they're taking Pokemon Quest to China. That's a lot of people to play a mobile game.
Yes.
And it's like a lot of people with a lot of mobile phones.
Yeah. And it is interesting to watch them sort of capitalize on that, because forever I was mad that Nintendo's stance was, if you want to play Nintendo games, you buy this whole other thing that you carry around with you.
Right.
Whether it was a 3DS or a... Yeah, you had to buy a whole other thing. And I kept standing behind my assertion that it would be better for them to get a little bit of money from me for a Mario game or a Legend of Zelda game, because otherwise they're not going to get any money from me because I'm not buying a whole nother thing to carry around. So.
But they have game brands that people love.
Yeah.
You know, who wouldn't want to play a Mario game? You know, Zelda, like you said, those games people would love to play on a mobile phone. Mm-hmm. They might not want to spend however many hundreds of dollars on anything, you know, the 3DS, a PlayStation, whatever. But people do love those brands, those characters.
Yeah.
It seemed crazy to me they didn't get in that mobile space. John, who's your favorite Pokemon?
I don't do Pokemon. Sorry.
If John was a Pokemon, which Pokemon would he be?
Kelly?
That might be a trick question.
I'm not entirely sure. A game player. I mean, I like flight simulators because of my military background, but I don't really get into Pokemon.
Yeah, well, I do know that you do walk regularly, so it does seem like something that you might enjoy, since you could just take it with you on a walk.
Find Pokemon on your walk, John.
Yeah, it might be fun.
You could show off what you've caught on your walk.
Unless it's just that you're holding out for the Harry Potter game, like all of us.
I think I'm more interested in listening to the sounds of nature and looking at the sky and contemplating while I walk.
Well, you can do that too.
Yeah.
I mean, that's also an option. I tend to do both, so, you know, that's just me. Because I don't stare at my phone the whole time. I put it away, and then when I get to places where there might be Pokemon, I take it out and look around, do what I want to do, and then put it back and keep walking, and it works out.
I don't even listen to music anymore when I walk, because I get self-absorbed into the music, and then I realize when I get back from the walk, I don't remember anything I saw.
I actually have to say, I know this is a slight deviation, but I actually rather agree with John on this. There's one holiday, I was away with friends once a few years ago when Pokemon Go was in its prime, and we were walking along the beach to try and go somewhere. Uh-huh. And I was obviously trying to find the beach and deserty Pokemon.
Yes.
As my friends got increasingly annoyed at me for lagging behind. But also, you know, you are kind of ruining your walk. So it's an interesting balance. I think if tech companies can get people moving, mm-hmm. and people, that's great. But I actually have to say I have some sympathy with John's argument as well, that enjoy the nature, and we spend a lot of time in front of screens, so enjoying the nature, I'm definitely with you on that.
Yeah, that's why I try to look for the balance of, like, I know there's something happening here, so I will do what I want to do, catch a couple Pokemon or whatever, and then put my phone away and go back to not paying attention to it while I'm out walking. I want to hear what kind of balance you all have for Pokemon Go, or what sort of balance you hope to achieve with the new Harry Potter game, Wizards Unite. And you can let us know that by emailing us at observations@macobserver.com. You can catch us at TMO Daily on Twitter, and you can leave comments in the show notes. We definitely want to hear about it. Also, if you're on your walks, are you listening to podcasts? Are you listening to nature? Are you listening to music? What exactly that might be. That's always interesting.
You should be listening to TDO.
Yeah, but if you like an extended walk, we're not a long enough show to cover the whole thing. So if you listen to something else too, that's
good,
okay,
actually.
Too.
I find TDO is very good for a gym burst.
Yes.
20, 25 minutes on the treadmill with TDO. That's what we're here for, guys. Look, we're just a service.
We'll make it happen.
That's what we're here for.
So the other thing we want to talk about is 4K... disc players, and that generally is Blu-ray. And John, you found an article that talked about buying new ones, what you need to know about them. But the more interesting thing about this is that you found this article about the current iteration of Blu-ray players, but you don't have one.
I have a standard 1080p Blu-ray player that I bought many, mm-hmm. many years ago, when I upgraded to a high definition system in 2007. Part one, I'm increasingly liking digital trends. And this fellow, Caleb Dennison, wrote an article the other day, Ultra HD Blu-ray, Everything You Need to Know. It's a really good article, and I linked to it yesterday. Mm-hmm. So that's a good reference if you're even vaguely interested in discs and Blu-ray. There's a lot to know about upgrading to a Blu-ray system. If you have a high definition system right now, you won't be able to use a 4K Blu-ray. Mm-hmm. Won't be able to exploit it, although it will down select to your system. If you have a 4K system, of ultra high definition 4K system, TV system, I would say maybe an Apple TV 4K, and it's up and running and you're streaming 4K from Netflix, and you have an older Blu-ray player, it'll work and it'll be upscaled. So it gets kind of interesting about your strategy and how you're going to approach the upgrading. When I installed my 4K system in November of 17, the first thing I did was I bought an Apple TV 4K because that was immediate. Mm-hmm. And I could immediately start to stream 4K content from Netflix and some from Amazon. And then my plan was to eventually buy a 4K UHD Blu-ray player to marry into this 4K system. I have not yet done so. One of the things that slowed me down at first was because the early 4K Blu-ray players didn't have Dolby Vision, and they claimed they were upgradable and you had to do a software upgrade, and those were slow in coming and there were some technical difficulties. Right now, in the spring of 2019, just about every 4K UHD Blu-ray player you buy will have Dolby Vision. So then the question is, do you want to invest in discs? When I was transitioning from DVDs to high definition, it made sense to start buying Blu-ray discs and a Blu-ray player because Blu-ray looks so much better than DVDs.
Yes.
Right, I'm going to interrupt him now.
It really does.
All right.
Go ahead,
What's
Charlie.
What's a Blu-ray disc?
Blu-ray, well, you know, our standard DVD players use a Red Laser.
I'm joking.
Just to bring everybody up to date.
Right.
Okay.
So. I am teasing because I haven't bought a DVD, a physical, a movie or TV series or anything like that.
Well, a lot of people don't want to. Don't want to have a shelf full of plastic.
Right. I kind of got to that point. I don't feel the same about music, but that's a separate discussion. But yes. I have
a stack of CDs behind you in the morning.
There's CDs, there's vinyl records behind me. There's lots of stuff.
Yeah.
But I don't feel the same about movies. That's just me. I know some people do. Mm-hmm. You know, I feel different about movies as I do books and music. But also, Netflix is now streaming in 4K.
Yes.
I have a 4K
and
TV.
Mm-hmm.
Right, exactly. And the audio is getting better as well. Mm-hmm. I feel the moment of these players has kind of passed. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe loads of people are going to email
right.
you.
I think the transition from DVD to Blu-ray was worthwhile. It was a dramatic improvement in quality. But now, with streaming so prominent and 4K so easy to get and so much content out there,
right?
Even high definition, which gets upscaled to your 4K TV. So even if you're streaming high definition, your 4K TV will upscale it, and it looks pretty good. You have to have a very sharp eye to tell the difference between original 4K content and HD content that's been upscaled. It's a very fine distinction. You're sitting far away from the TV, you won't see it at all. You have to sit closer. So the question is strategic. Are you a videophile? Do you want to have the very best? You know, you're streaming 4K with Dolby Atmos with an inferior version of the sound that supports Dolby Atmos, and your streaming is limited to 20 megabits per second. Do you want a 4K Blu-ray disc that pulls data off the disc at several hundred megabits per second, maybe 10 times more? Less compression, fewer artifacts, better sound, paired well to your 4K TV. If you have a 4K system and you're a videophile and you want the very, very best picture and you have some favorite movies. The other thing to remember is that those Blu-ray discs are 8-bit and they won't exploit the wide color gamut of your 10-bit 4K TV. Mm-hmm. They don't support Dolby Vision, so even though they're upscaled, you won't get the deeper colors, you won't get the broader color range mm-hmm. of white color gamut. So it depends on whether you notice those things and whether you care about those things.
Well, here's what I care about, though. So I just bought, like, less than a week ago, I bought Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse on Blu-ray. Why? Because I want to watch it. I want to watch it whenever I want to watch it. I want to be able to enjoy that movie whenever I want. I cannot guarantee that it's going to be streaming anywhere at any point. And if it is streaming, it may not be streaming on a service that I pay for. Spider-Man is a Marvel character. Who knows how long I'm going to be able to watch that movie if it's on Netflix, for example, without having to buy Disney Plus in November. So that's like on a
fundamental November is the answer, I'm pretty sure.
Well, on a fundamental level, like stuff comes and goes all the time, you know, and you can go put Netflix and any month and any year in and you will find all the articles about what's coming to Netflix that month and what's leaving Netflix that month. Same goes for HBO and Hulu and all those other streaming services that are out there that I don't even know the names of yet, or I'm just forgetting. So, like, I want to watch that movie as much as I want to watch that movie whenever I want to watch that movie. And if there's an internet outage in my neighborhood, I can still watch Into the Spider-Verse, even if there's no internet. In fact, that may be what I end up doing because I can't stream anything. So it's not like I can go watch the new season of Jessica Jones. So for me, on a basic level, that's where my purchase decisions come from. I will occasionally buy something on iTunes if it's cheap.
Yeah, I totally get that.
Comment on that, because I used to collect my favorite movies. I made it a point to get the Bourne movies on Blu-ray, to get the Star Wars movies.
Well, that's just because you have excellent taste in film, John.
Well, but what I find is that there's so much new content available on streaming that I have very little time or motivation to go back and pull Blu-ray discs off my library shelf and watch them. When there's all sorts of new stuff coming out daily on streaming.
I really so agree with that.
Collecting plastic for even my favorite movies in Star Wars and Star Trek and Stargate.
It just doesn't make sense anymore.
Doesn't make sense.
So much, Charlotte. Well, on the one end, yes. But on the other, like, I also know that, for example, Mr. Kelly is not the avid movie consumer that I am. So for him, sitting down with, like, if he sits down to watch a movie, it's sitting down to watch a specific movie. It's not, I have a free evening, I'm just going to see what's on Netflix and go watch a thing or whatever's on HBO Go or whatever. That's not him. If he sits down to watch something, it's going to be, I want to watch a Bourne movie, or I want to watch a James Bond movie, or I want to watch whatever, and then we'll sit down and watch that. And so, like, he sits down with something in mind. He's not as much a grazer when it comes to a movie. Like, if he's going to commit to a couple of hours, it's going to be a specific film. Like, I'm sitting down to watch Dr. No. I'm sitting down to watch whatever's on TV right now or whatever. So
I've got a question for John.
Go ahead.
What's the kind of price range we're talking about for these players now?
Oh, they're much less expensive than they used to be. We're talking about $100 to $200 max.
Yeah.
Wow.
For a 4K Blu-ray player with Dolby Vision.
Yeah, that's what I thought, because I have a bunch of DVDs and I don't have a DVD player. And I, you know, actually back to our previous conversation, I often thought I'd get a PlayStation and just kill two birds with one stone. But it's interesting that the prices of all these things are crashing here, and I assumed it would be the same.
And they'll play everything. A 4K Blu-ray player will play everything. It'll play 4K discs. It'll play high definition discs. It'll play DVDs. It'll play just about any disc format you've ever heard of. It'll play.
Nice. And that technology is remarkably cheap now.
Yes. Yeah, so I think what slowed me down was the slow start on Dolby Vision back in 2018. Mm. And along the way, I just found that there's so much content. I'm like Mr. Kelly. I kind of look around for my favorite British mysteries and my favorite shows I've heard about. And their BBC mysteries are great. Right now, I'm watching Unforgotten, which is really good. It takes a whole season to figure out who done it. And you have to have an interesting frame of mind. You have to be very patient and interested in the storytelling aspect.
Very good.
But once I find these things, you know, I kind of glom onto them and watch them. I watched 175 episodes of Heartland from Canada, Horse Ranches in Calgary. So You know, I'm just not cranked up about developing a library of 4K Blu-ray discs. I think this is the last of its breed. And plastic on the shelf hasn't been a big payoff for me. So if my Blu-ray player dies, I'll have to replace it with a new one.
Right.
And I won't mind. If you do
I'm sitting here
4K,
nodding along, John.
If you do buy a 4K Blu-ray player, you probably need new cables. So watch out for that.
Maybe, yeah. Depending on what you've got hooked up now, then
if
it's entirely possible.
If you have a high-definition system and you upgraded to 4K, make sure your new 4K Blu-ray player has a high-speed quality HDMI cable.
Yeah. Also,
and you have to have the 2.0A HDMI. If you've got an old 4K TV that came out in 2015 or 16, it may have HDMI 1.4, in which case you won't support the best of your 4K Blu-ray players.
You're not going to get the performance out of it.
You're not going to get the wide color gamut and the high bit rate.
There's a lot to juggle when you go through these upgrades. So if you're looking to upgrade, I think John may spin this off into a side business of AV consulting as a service. We will let you know more about that on future
episodes. Articles at the Mac Observer.
Yes. Yeah. But we will certainly let you know, and if John ever does upgrade, we will talk to him a bunch about his new player. If mine ever goes kaput, I was telling John before the show that if something ever happens to mine, I'm going to have to replace it, and he's the first person I'm going to ask about what to put there instead. So we'll see how that goes. But you will definitely hear more about 4K and future video and Apple TV right here at Daily Observations. In the meantime, I want to thank both of you for being here today. Charlotte, thanks for coming by to talk about Pokemon.
Always.
And John, thanks for coming by to talk about Pokemon.
My pleasure. Nice to be here. And,
thanks for coming by mostly to talk about the video quality and the 4K players, because whenever I have questions about 4K audio and what that and the accompanying 4K video and the accompanying audio, you're always the first person I think of. So I'm glad you come by to inform all of us about that.
My pleasure.
I've been your host, Kelly Gamon. I will talk to all of you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other.